so much for joining us. Before jumping into today's podcast, we wanted to let you know that our brand new Planet Shakers demo, So Fresh, is available now on Spotify and Apple Music. We pray that it blesses you. Now it's time for Friends of Planet Shakers Worship Series with William McDowell from Orlando, Florida. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Friends of Planet Shakers. It's so great to see you tonight. Well, actually, we can't see you, but you are in our hearts, and we have got an amazing guest with us tonight. His name is William McDowell, and he is one of the most amazing men of God who just love Jesus, and you can tell that with his worship, and all of his worship is inspiring millions of people around the world to connect with God. And that's exactly what we love. So welcome, William McDowell.
Hello, so good to see you guys.
For those who don't know Pastor William McDowell, you're actually a pastor too, aren't you?
I am. We pastor Deeper Fellowship Church here in Orlando, Florida.
And we met you for the first time in Nigeria, which was, it's a place called The Experience. I like to call it a crazy experience myself. Would you agree?
It's quite an experience. It's like that all over Africa, but that particular gathering is very special because about 1 million people gathered together.
Now, Pastor Sam and I, part of the Punch Shakes band, for those who don't know, well, surely you would know if you're watching this, right? But we get to travel around the world and we get to visit lots of different churches. And at this point in time, a couple of years ago, we hadn't heard of you, even though, you know, because America's so big, so many different artists going on and worship leaders. And we were at a conference at T.D. Jakes's church, and there was another worship leader leading this song, Withholding Nothing. And that was the first time that we heard that song. And we were just like, wow, there's something on this song. And we, you know, dug into who wrote it and found out that it was your song. And we listened to it all night. And then the place that we're at the next morning ministering, we ended up doing that song because it's such a powerful song. Oh, wow. So can you tell us a bit about that song and how that song came to be?
Well, it's pretty amazing. I actually written another song several years prior called I Give Myself Away. And we're doing that song all over the world. And we had never recorded video from our first two recordings. And so we had decided we were going to record a video of some of the things that we had done before. But that video actually turned into a recording. And I had been spending some time with the Lord just singing songs of surrender from my heart. And as I was doing that, that just kind of came out as a piece of a song. And in fact, the video recording that we did that night, I actually said to our team that week, I said, hey, I have a little piece of something we might do. And we did it in rehearsal, and the presence of God just showed up in such a significant way that it ended up becoming a full song. But the night of the recording, it wasn't even a full song. It was just a piece we added to I Give Myself Away. But as the Lord began to develop it and I sang it more, he gave us the full part of that. And that's how it basically came about. It doesn't have this broken under the piano type story. It really is just a lifestyle of surrender that I live. And so surrender songs come out of me on a regular basis.
That is so good. Maybe that you could tell us a little bit about your background, you know, your upbringing and how you ended up becoming a pastor, a worship leader. We'd love to hear about that.
Well, I actually grew up in another part of the United States, in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I began ministering in church around the age of 10 and playing all sorts of instruments, organ, piano, drums, whatever, you name it, singing in the choir, singing with the worship team, that type of thing. I began leading worship around the age of 16, and then from there, continued leading worship. I moved to Florida because the Lord invited me, showed me a vision of the church that I see right, that we're pastoring right now. I didn't know that at the time, but he showed me a vision. And when I saw that, I said, what is it, Lord? He told me and said, and I asked him where it is. He said, it's in Orlando and I'm going to use you to build it. So I moved to Florida, actually went to school in Florida, got my degree or 2 degrees, one in recording arts and another in entertainment business during that time. But right after I graduated, I started traveling, playing keyboard as the music director for Dr. Ron Canole. And so I was traveling with him around the world. And the whole time, the Lord preparing me for this season that we're in. Owned a recording studio, recorded several major things out of there. Major worship artists, Israel Houghton and some others recorded out of the studio there. And it was just, I was growing in that time, but the entire time the Lord was working on my heart for the church. So I was ordained as a worship pastor and served there for a number of years. And the Lord birthed several recordings out of my heart during that season and began to travel the world. We've traveled about 50 countries or so. And then 6 years ago, we planted Deeper Fellowship Church, which has been an absolute move of God. We talk about it quite a bit. May 22nd, 2016, the presence of God walked in to our church in such a way that it's wrecked all of us. We've never been the same since. We've written a book out of that called It's Happening that was published around the world. And this last recording that we did called The Cry is actually the story of what God has done the last 3 years in our church, which has been a move of God, which has seen a number of significant things take place and people come from all around the world to visit what God's doing here. That's a quick version.
That's very powerful.
Yeah, amazing.
You know, something that we do find a lot when we travel too is, unfortunately, you just run into people who are just playing the game, the ministry game, the worship leading game. It almost seems like they're in it for fame as opposed to just wanting just to give God glory. And maybe they started out like that, but they ended up just getting stuck in the system of Hollywoodism, all that kind of stuff. You're one of the greatest people who isn't that. You know, we just feel so refreshed when we hear you minister, when we talk to you. It's just such a genuine love and wanting to give God all the glory. Talk to people about that.
Well, you know, one of the things that once you've had an encounter with God, it ruins everything else. Once you've been in His presence, being in the presence of anyone else is underwhelming. And so for me, Matthew 13:34 or 44 through 46 becomes a very vital thing for me. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a treasure in a field, and in his excitement, he buried the treasure in the field, sold everything he had in order to possess the field so he could possess the treasure. Likewise, the kingdom is like a merchant of great pearls. So once he found the pearl of great price, he sells everything else in order to possess the pearl. For me, I found the treasure. I found the pearl. Mm-hmm. It's his presence. It's his heart. And nothing else matters to me but that. And so, you know, all of that, the places you can go, the accolades and everything else, none of that matters. If any of it is received, it's another crown to lay at his feet. You know, ultimately, I want to be known by God and I want to know God. And it doesn't matter, you know, where I get to go or who I get to be around. Ultimately, I want to be in his presence more than anything else. Once you've had an encounter with God, it changes everything about you. It changes everything about your perspective, about your life. And he's the only thing that matters to me and the only thing that I want more than anything else. All these other things that have come have all been surprises to me. You know, you talk about withholding nothing. And it's like one day I'm in a church service and they say, oh, well, congratulations on your Grammy nomination. And it's like, I had no idea withholding nothing was nominated for a Grammy. And at the end of the day, none of that matters. Right. None of it matters because, you know, I look back over all the things that the Lord has granted us favor for. And if I lost his presence for those things, none of those things go to heaven with us. Mm-hmm. I value the presence of God more than anything or anyone else.
That's so awesome. We definitely agree. Awesome.
Yes, we do. And that's what Planet Shakers has been birthed in encounters. And that's what we always want to do is lead people into encounters. But what about a person today that might be watching and they don't know Jesus? How would you explain this? Because within the Christian church, we know what an encounter means. We know what the presence of God feels like. Would you be able to speak to someone who's never had that experience?
Sure. The amazing thing about Jesus is that he's not explained, he's revealed. You know, we understand this out of Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus asked his followers, his own followers, who do men say that I am? And they start to recount, you know, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter speaks up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response to him was, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And the reason why I take this, you say, well, I don't know scripture. I don't know that story. But the reason why I'm telling you is because as much as I could explain to you or try to explain to you this love, which is unexplainable, this grace, which we don't deserve, the truth of the matter is it's a revelation that comes from God that causes us to know that we need him. And whenever he reveals himself or causes us to recognize that we need him, that's an invitation that is giving us an invitation to say, I want to know you. We don't go to him. He comes to us. And what I mean by that is that the scripture says that no man comes to the Father except to be drawn by the Son. It is not our pursuit of him. It's his pursuit of us. And ultimately, Jesus Christ is pursuing all of humanity. That's why he came. That's why the scripture says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And the next verse is very important. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, the world might be saved. Jesus did not come to condemn you. He came to save you. Therefore, his arms are wide open to anyone who would acknowledge that they need him. He will reveal himself. He will reveal a love to you that you've never known. And all of this stuff may sound too good to be true, but it is the good news. It is the gospel that God is not holding your sins against you. Instead, he's inviting you to him. He's a loving father who is inviting all of creation to be reconciled back to him. That is the thing that every one of us has on the inside of us, a longing to be known by God. He's revealing himself through creation. He's revealing himself to you. Even as I'm talking, you may have a part in you that says, I have been trying my best to get it right. But ultimately, it's the grace of God that draws you. It's the love of God that draws you and says, listen, you're going to continue to fail if you do it on your own. The Bible says that we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. This is the gospel. He draws us to himself, and he's available to every single person who will acknowledge their need for him.
That's awesome.
That's so good.
I would say that's a pretty good answer.
Pastor Zen. Amazing answer. And that is our heart as well. And so that's why we have you here with us today, because our hearts are joined together with that same focus that we want Jesus to be revealed and people to experience this wonderful love of Jesus.
Yes.
But maybe you could also talk to us about, of course, you've mentioned how you've traveled the world.
Uh-huh.
What are some moments that you've had around the world where you've just been absolutely blown away by the power of God moving in a city, in a nation, or maybe you could talk to us about that.
I've seen a few moments that are just pretty amazing. We were in one nation where the president of the nation actually came and offered the nation back to God in the middle of one of our nights of worship. We saw another nation where we were, where a news media was following us around. And actually one of the cameramen from the news media was deaf and received their hearing in the middle of the night of worship. So we've seen these types of things take place, healings and miracles and things of that nature. Those are the things that come immediately to mind. I could begin to recount story after story of salvation, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people being saved. But I think those particular things, particularly the one where the person got healed, that was the newspaper headline the next day. Wow. You know, cameraman receives hearing at gospel concert.
So
pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So good.
Something that we as worship leaders here in Planet Shakers always go for in a meeting is breakthrough. You know, we don't want to just sing a nice song and have a little moment of music, but we want to experience breakthrough. And sometimes As worship leaders, it always looks different, you know, and we're always facing different atmospheres, especially when you travel around the world. You face different atmospheres over different cities, and sometimes breakthrough comes in all different ways. How do you approach getting breakthrough in a meeting?
Well, that's a great question. First, through prayer. No move of God has ever happened in the history of the earth without prayer. And so I look at a lot of these things. The Holy Spirit gives keys to all of us to unlock certain atmospheres. Essentially it's really being in tune with the Spirit of God, asking Him, you know, throughout the meeting, what's the key that unlocks this door? And at times, you know, this can get into a whole lot of other things, but at times it's really, taking authority in certain atmospheres, speaking against certain things that are holding people back in certain atmospheres and really holding people down, because ultimately we're designed for these encounters. And so if there's something that's preventing that, then we know that that thing is not of the Lord. And so really it's through prayer, taking authority, understanding, you know, I know this is the kind of language that not everybody uses, but, you know, prophetically understanding, what God might be doing or what might be hindering a certain atmosphere. One of the things for me, that may be different for, you know, a lot of people, I never travel without intercessors. And so I always have people that go ahead of us to prepare an atmosphere before we enter into it, because we're believing for that level of breakthrough. Now, the younger me, I would fight for everything, that kind of breakthrough, no matter what. Now I've come to understand that if, you know, there's certain assignments that the Lord has given us for certain seasons, you know, I will operate within that assignment, operate within that grace, and not try to extend past that. You know, I used to try to storm hell with a water pistol, but I've kind of understood now, you know, to use wisdom and the grace of God that He's given me for a particular, you know, area, understanding that maybe I don't have to hit a home run. If I hit a single, you know, somebody else will come along, you know, behind me, and another ministry come along, and we'll see breakthrough in a nation. Yeah. But ultimately, it's through prayer and prophetic understanding.
Man, that is... you just put that in a better way than I ever could. Like I always thought of it and have learnt, you know, because I started very young and I'm now 34, and I've learnt that, it doesn't all rest on you sometimes. Sometimes you just got to play your part and you know, like building blocks, you know. God might have not necessarily got me in this meeting to see it get to here, but He's going to use someone else to get to there. Yep. Me at the start of the meeting as a praise and worship leader, I just got to get the block to here. The next person will come in and build upon that. Yeah. It's like you said, there's wisdom and growing to get to that point.
Absolutely. What about personal breakthroughs that you've actually had to get to with God? I know that, you know, through my many years, we won't reveal my age, but, you know, there's been moments where there's been blockages in my own life. And what are some of the things that you've maybe faced and some of the keys to your personal breakthrough? Because I know also if you're not breaking through, well, how can we break others through to the, you know, the Absolutely. Fullness that God has for them?
I've come to understand, you know, the more we grow, I'll speak from the a higher point first and then kind of back into that. But the more we grow, we understand that He hears us when we pray. I think when we're younger, you know, we're not sure. And so we treat prayer differently. But now that we know that He hears us, Luke 18 becomes a significant passage of scripture in all of this, which Jesus tells a story about the widow crying out for justice with the unjust judge, and then goes on to say, you know, this is how you are to pray, or to talk about persistent prayer. I could quote the whole thing, but for the sake of time, you know, he talks about being persistent in the place of prayer. And there is no breakthrough without persistence. Yes. We see this with Daniel. We see this in Luke 18, persistence in the place of prayer. So for personally, for me, you know, areas of breakthrough from my life, just because of my relationship with the Lord, have always been about breaking forth into the more of God. In other words, God will show you something, which was what I call righteous envy. Righteous envy is when God shows you something that He's doing somewhere or with someone to cause you to want it so that He can cause you to cry out for it so that he can give it to you. And so for me, it's not necessarily been about, you know, areas of my personal blockage more than it's been about areas of hunger. Bill Johnson makes a statement that God doesn't show you the future so that you can figure it out. He shows you the future in order to make you hungry. And so that's kind of the way I look at righteous envy as well. Whenever I read something, hear something, see something that God is doing, if it's not happening in my life and he causes me to want it, that's a desperation that he's waking up, or a hunger that he's waking up, that he wants to invite me through a level of persistence to break through to another level so that we can see that happen. Yeah. Personal maturity, we tend to look at these things like, you know, that's the level of breakthrough. But truthfully, personal maturity comes through the place of discipline or the spiritual disciplines. Spiritual breakthrough comes forth in prayer.
Maybe we can talk about songwriting. I'm sure you've written hundreds of thousands of songs. And that's obviously Pastor Sam and myself, we're passionate about writing, you know, more than anything else, anointed songs. And we want our sound and our style to be current and fresh, but we don't care unless it's anointed, you know? And what, have you got any tips and just advice you can give to some of the songwriters out there?
Well, I think that songwriting is a gift that can be cultivated through repetition. And so one of the things about the gift of songwriting is the more you do it, the better you become. But the important thing, particularly for those who are Christian songwriters, is to write out of the place of encounter. Make sure you've had an encounter with God or something to write about, or specifically someone to write about. You know, one of the things that I talk about as what I call the crisis of the gospel is writing or singing about someone who can change others who hasn't yet changed you. And so it's important to write out of the place of encounter. Practically speaking, you know, you can develop melodies and things like that by, you know, listening to different things. But for me, even though I know that songwriting is a gift that can be cultivated through repetition, I choose to wait for the inspiration that comes from the Holy Spirit out of the place of encounter. That's how you know the authenticity of what you are singing will be anointed. It reminds me of the scripture in Matthew 7:28. The scripture says that when Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were amazed because he spoke as one having authority and not as one of the teachers of the law. One of the things that gives you authority is authenticity, and God anoints that.
Yeah.
That's an awesome.
So good.
So good. And something that we joined with you recently on is an event that you have created called Cover the Earth, which we're very honored to be a part of. Can you tell our viewers about that?
The Lord really put it on my heart to gather together a group of worshipers and pastors from literally every continent on earth for a time of global encounter and worship and intercession. And I'm so privileged that literally people from around the world have joined together. The amazing Planet Shakers, Darlene Check, Tasha Cobbs, Leonard Travis Green, folks out of Africa like Nathaniel Bassi and Sinach and just a lot of folks, Francis Chan and several others are going to be joining us for a time of prayer and worship. Don Moen and Michael W. Smith and C.C. Winans, and the list goes on and on as far as who's gathering. Elevation Worship and a lot of folks. I know I'm forgetting people, but what I'm privileged to do know is that this is going to be an encounter with God that literally everyone around the world is going to be able to experience in worship and in intercession. And we're going to believe God that the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters clothe the sea.
Amen. Amazing. That is so good. We can't wait for that. And so we want to thank you so much, Pastor William, for joining us today. We honor you and we praise God for the incredible gift you are to the body of Christ. You've inspired so many of us, connected us with God, had our own encounters through what you are doing and have done. And so thank you so much. And God bless you.
God bless you too. So blessed by you guys. And thank you for having us.
Well, thanks for joining us here at Friends of Planet Shakers Worship Series. We hope you had a great time. Stay tuned because we have got more coming up, Pastor Sam. So we'll see you soon.